When the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth? In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Please be seated. So Jesus is telling his disciples a parable about their need to pray always and never to lose heart. And if you were here a few weeks ago, I was preaching on prayer and on this very topic, actually, when I was talking about Habakkuk standing at the wall and telling God, I'm going to wait until you answer my prayer. And although this is going to be a similar sermon, God really put it in my heart to preach on this one. So we're going to do it. So if you were here a few weeks ago, this is review. And if you weren't, this is not. So Jesus is telling the disciples a parable about their need to pray always, and we get this image of this persistent widow going to an unjust judge who finally relents, right? And Jesus says, God will grant justice on earth. But my question to you, my disciples, is when I come back, because we believe Jesus is coming back one day, when I come back, am I going to find faith on earth? Now, faith is not something that we just think. It's not just about having faith. Being faithful is actually an activity, isn't it? It's a way of being, right? I don't have faith and therefore I am, you know, have fidelity to my wife. I am faithful to my wife, right? We are faithful to God. This requires activity on our part. And it's not easy to have faith. Prayer is a struggle. Faith is a struggle. And it's a struggle especially when we live in a world where everyone is looking for easy answers. If you want easy answers, go to a politician. Go to Fox News. Go to MSNBC. That's where you go for easy answers. If you want easy answers, go to a televangelist selling snake oil. Those are easy answers. They'll tell you the Bible's got all your easy answers. But they're not good answers. If you want easy answers, you don't go to a God who speaks in parables. And our parable for today is Jacob's story. Because this particular story, you might have heard me preach on this 3 years ago. This is like my favorite thing to preach on. And I'm never going to stop preaching on it every time it pops up in the lectionary because I love it that much, right? And this story, the rabbis and the early Christians and those of us living today, look at this story as the struggle of the life of faith, the struggle of the life of prayer, and the struggle with Scripture itself. That's what this story represents to people. And so I think it's a very good parable, and I'm going to call it a parable because it's a story that has lots of depth, and its meaning is not apparent all at once. In fact, it's a weird story, and that's what makes it perfect for this. So in order to get into this, we got to give a little background, right? Because we got this story, and it shows up in media res, where Jacob is about to ford the river Jabbok. So if you go back to Genesis 27, right? And that's roughly where this story begins. You could go back further, like Genesis 1, if you'd like. But Genesis 27 is where this story begins. And we get this story of Jacob the trickster. Because Jacob is a trickster. And he tricks his brother Esau out of his birthright and his blessing. Jacob tricks his poor blind father Isaac into believing that he's Esau to get that blessing. So he's a kind of a shady character. And then, understandably, Jacob runs away because Esau wants to kill him. Are we terribly surprised by this? Right? So Jacob, in running away, winds up at his uncle's house, who is also a trickster. And he tricks Jacob into marrying his two daughters. That's why Jacob's got two wives in the story. He only wanted one of them. He wound up with both of them. And he also, in the process, manages to get Jacob to work for him for free for many years. So you see, the tables get turned on Jacob in this story, but Jacob, being the clever trickster that he is, manages to trick his uncle and escapes with his wives, his children, and lots of money, only to find himself here about to face Esau. And so that's why it begins that Jacob got up at night, right, stealthily, and took his two wives, two maids, and his 11 children, because he's been busy. And he crossed the ford of the Jabbok, right? And he sent them across the stream in the middle of the night because he kind of wants to squeak by without Esau seeing him. Because Jacob hasn't quite put the trickster behind him yet. He's also terrified, justifiably, because Esau's also a lot bigger than Jacob and a lot more ferocious. So Jacob was left alone, we are told, and in this vulnerable place of fear and uncertainty and trying to figure out who he's going to be and try to leave behind who he was, a man wrestled with him until daybreak. Now, that word, a man, that we translate there, that's only a partial translation. That word is ish in Hebrew, okay? And it can mean man. It can also mean divine being, right? It's a blurry word. One of the first places you encounter it is earlier in Genesis 2, when God creates man from the earth. God creates an ish. And it says Eve, right? God named her woman because she was taken out of man. That's Isha out of ish. So humans are kind of like this blurry species that exists between God and creation, right? There's a lot of blurriness in this story. There's a lot of lines being blurred. And honestly, this is the essence of our faith, because we talk about a blending of human and divine all the time. If you're listening at home, I'm pointing at Jesus right now, right? We affirm Jesus is both human and divine, okay? So this story is pointing to that for us. And so Jacob wrestles with this man until daybreak. And the reason why it's happening at night, by the way, in ancient Hebrew tradition, that's when gods and spirits had kind of an advantage over people, and that's when they chose to jump them. So this spirit has advantage over Jacob and jumps him at night. This spirit, this divine being, this man. Blurry word. So when the man, the ish, saw that he did not prevail against Jacob, he struck him on the hip socket, and Jacob's hip was put out of joint as he wrestled with him. This is, the rabbis have always looked at this and said, when you struggle with God, you always walk away limping. This is prayer. This is scripture. This is the life of faith, right? You walk away bruised and you walk away changed. But as he's wrestling with him, he realizes that daybreak's coming, and he says to Jacob, let me go for the day is breaking. Because again, right, when you're a divine being, it's easier to work at night. And this is a folk tale. This is not exactly how God works, but we're going to go with the idiom of the time, all right? And Jacob says, I will not let you go unless you bless me. I will not let you go unless you bless me. If this is the life of faith and this is the life of prayer, how often do we say that to God? I will not let you go unless you bless me. Right? Does that not point to that story we just read about the widow, right? Who is persistent and keeps coming and finally gets what she wants. And Jesus says, persist in your prayer in the same way as this widow. And we get that image of Jacob wrestling with God. That's the life of faith. It's a struggle. But I guarantee you that your relationship with God will improve if in your prayer life, you hold on and say, I will not let you go unless you bless me. And it works, doesn't it? Right? It works for Jacob. So the ish says to him, what is your name? Now, this is a dangerous question when you're wrestling with a god or a spirit at night. Because when you give someone your name in the ancient world, they have power over you. Right? Think about the story of Adam and Eve. When Adam names the animals, that's exerting power over them. He's classifying them. He's knowing them. He understands them. Imagine if a god understands you in that way. So the divine being asks, what's your name? But Jacob knows there's something different about this, right? And he says, Jacob. He gives him his name. It would be a gamble for anyone. And the Ish said to him, you shall no longer be called Jacob, but Israel, for you have striven with God and with humans and have prevailed. That's what Israel means. He who struggles or strives with God, or the people who struggle and strive with God. The nation of Israel, the people we call the Israelites, that's their identity, the people who struggle with God. Now, they've been walking that life of faith a lot longer than most people on the earth, haven't they? Right? And man, they've had some lows, have they not? But they're not going to let go of God until they get a blessing. And now here's the really fun thing. We are Israel too. That is our name as a Christian people. We affirm that we are part of the people of Israel. We affirm that we are in God's covenant with humanity. Okay? We are the people who struggle with God. That's our calling, my friends. And so Jacob, in this moment, because he's a trickster, says, please tell me your name. What did we say about names, right? And this Ish, this divine being, why is that you ask me my name? Go away, Jacob. Israel. And then he blessed him. That's when he gets his blessing. He struggled. He tries to get a little bit more. He tries to get the name out of the Ish. The Ish is like, Jacob. And he blesses him. So out of this encounter, he gets his blessing and he gets a new name and a new identity. Hold on to that. And so as the sun comes up, right, Jacob called the place Peniel, because that means the face of God, Peniel. All right, for I have seen God face to face, and yet my life is preserved, which means, my friends, it won't kill you to confront God directly. But you might walk with a limp afterwards, right? And the sun rose on him as he passed Peniel, which is another rendering of face of God, just two different names for the same place, limping because of his hip. And isn't that an image for the life of faith? You walk away from God and you are limping. But you also have a new name and a new identity. And we believe that to be true. When we go through the waters of baptism, we are welcomed into God's family, and our new name is Child of God. Our new name is Israel. Our new name actually is Jesus Christ, because we are baptized into his life and into his death. We get a new identity when we choose to struggle with God, and we get blessings, even if we have to hold on to God until God gives us said blessing. So my brothers and sisters, my prayer for us today is that we would struggle with God, that we would recognize that faith is not a state of mind. It is a way of being and doing and acting and living in the world. My prayer for us is that we would grab a hold of God and not let him go until he gives us a blessing. And my prayer for us is that when we walk away, even if we're walking with a limp, we'll know that we are blessed. In Jesus' name, amen.